Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where I profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the resources that are shaping their thinking and inspiring their practice. For show notes and links from each episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today, I'm speaking with Kelly Slusser. Kelly is an instructional coach, a fitness obsessor, and a kombucha fanatic. Kelly is also a wife of another teacher and a mom of three. Kelly, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
Absolutely.
All right. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about your current context in education? What does that look like on a daily basis?
So I teach and live in a county called Yolo County. It encompasses about four towns, and I teach in a small town called Winters. Yolo County is known for UC Davis. It's a large university in California, and Winters is a small town right outside of Davis. So we find a lot of our identity with Davis as far as we're a very big agriculture town. We're known for producing Mariani nuts, and Buckhorn is a kind of a famous restaurant in our town. I'm an instructional coach for the elementary school, which is two separate sites across town from each other, so about a mile from each other. And we have one site that is a TK3 site and another site that is a 4-5 site. And the town is pretty small. It's less than 8,000 people in the town. So I pretty much know everybody. and we have about 70% of our students are English language learners. And about 40% of our classrooms are dual immersion and they're in Spanish. So it's kind of a different kind of community, a different kind of a setup we have going. Currently, like I said, I'm the instructional coach. So I'm coaching teachers at those school sites. 10% of my position is actually the STEAM teacher for fifth grade. So I'm the release teacher so that teachers can have a break. So they wanted me to still have time in the classroom with kids so that I stay relevant and current and, you know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a nice amount, isn't it? I mean, it's definitely not a heavy load, but it gets you in there, like you said, periodically, and you get to take the pulse of the students and actually see some of these great tools and platforms in action. And we should also mention, Kelly, that you work closely with another guest of the podcast, Greg Moffitt. And he was a guest on Teachers on Fire back at episode 63 in late December of 2018. So another cool connection. And I think the first time we've gone to two people from the same school, but I think in your case, it's worth it. So what's it been like to work with Greg?
He's pretty amazing. I appreciate working with him quite a bit. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll come back to Greg and we'll talk more about Winters as we go along. But first, it is story time, Kelly. So talk to us about a challenging experience, something of adversity that you faced in your teaching or education career, and then explain how you got through it.
Okay. So I've been an educator for about 18 years. At about 12 years, so about 6 years ago, so I obviously survived about 12 years ago. I was laid off from my position and I was a Title I intervention specialist in a charter school, a virtual online charter school. And because it was a charter school, we didn't have a union and they decided that our teachers were making a fuss, of course, about our pay. And they decided, they didn't tell us this, but this is what we assume, that they laid off a bunch of teachers that had a lot of units and a lot of years, so we were at the top of the pay scale. And the following year, everybody got a pay raise. So myself and a bunch of my friends got laid off and my identity is a teacher. And I had worked really hard for that school and been there for 5 years. And it was a huge moment, like, I mean, not really knowing the reason I got laid off. It was devastating. And I decided at that point, I was like, forget education. I don't want to be a teacher anymore. You know how you are and it was the end of the school year too. So you're just drained and exhausted. And I decided I'm going to be, I actually got recruited from my, my CrossFit instructor. He told me he wanted a mom about my age to be an instructor with him to kind of inspire other moms. So I started training to be a CrossFit instructor and I was loving it and enjoying it. Of course, my husband was, who's also a teacher, said, there's, at least not yet, there's not a lot of way we can make a living doing this. I don't really, you know, support this, but he was still sort of supportive. And at the end of the summer, I was kind of all in like full mode, getting my credential, getting my certification to be a trainer. And I got a phone call from one of my friends, a fellow parent. I had known this person since we were, our daughters were babies, not even walking. And he said, he was assistant principal at a local elementary school. And he said, we have a job that just opened. And I need a sub. And I know that you're stepping away from education right now, but would you be interested in just subbing just to get us started? Because kids start in 2 days and we're having meet the teacher tomorrow and enrollment went crazy and I don't know what to do. And can you just come tomorrow? And it was like 6 o'clock at night.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
And can you come tomorrow? And I was like, I called up my mother who was super supportive to come watch my two kids at the time. And I walked into the school and I walked into my classroom that he wanted me to sub in and it was empty, tables and chairs and nothing. And he said, parents are going to be here in like 2 hours. Do you mind just kind of making it look presentable and just introduce yourself to the parents? And so I did. And 2 weeks later, I interviewed for the position. Oh, and I need to also mention that, like, okay, school was starting in 2 more days. And my oldest was going to be in kindergarten. So I enrolled her as a student in my school, my new school. And that was 6 years ago. And I've been there ever since. So
wow.
Kind of a whirlwind. So
that is last minute. So, I mean, what was that year like? Did you just sort of pick up the was it super stressful or did you find your groove fairly quickly?
Well, you know what? One of the things about me is that I deal with stress pretty well. And I had been a teacher, like I said, for a really long time. So at that point, it was like 12 years. So, and I had been primarily a teacher in K-3 classrooms. And this classroom was the first TK, transitional kindergarten classroom, that we were opening up. And I don't know if you're familiar with California, but 6 years ago, we started transitional kindergarten. So I had no one to turn to. I was a brand new teacher. So I just did what I thought was best. Luckily, I had just spent a lot of time volunteering at my daughter's preschool classroom. So I was just going, okay, I'm going to take the things I've been doing in my daughter's preschool and transfer it over. And the first year was kind of hard and I had some difficult students, but I kind of created it and made it my own. And my principal was super supportive on letting me do what I needed to do. You know, he'd come in and be like, looks good. You're doing great, you know?
Well, and that's the nice position, Kelly, I guess, of walking in so last minute is, you know, you're the savior, so you can't, you can't go wrong, right? I mean, you're the hero of the moment. So you've got a little bit of grace in that situation for sure.
Yes.
So we talked about Greg Moffitt being on the show, and you and Greg have been reading through the Dave Burgess books at the ambitious pace of a book per week, and at least that was your goal. So I look forward to hearing a bit of an update here. You've been documenting your reflections at readlikeapirate.wordpress.com. So if you're listening and you're interested in the Dave Burgess books, make sure to take a look and follow along at readlikeapirate.wordpress.com. But Kelly, tell us how the readings challenge has been going lately. What are you reading at the moment and which titles have made the greatest impact so far in 2019?
Well, so let's step back. Speaking of Greg, he was that guy who called me 6 years ago.
He was the guy. Yeah, okay. He was
my principal. So our daughters were friends and they're the same age. And he called me and he was like, I need you to take over. so he was a friend first. So here's the important part. I have to step back and tell you how Relax became to be. Because we didn't just make this decision out of the blue.
Okay.
So 3 years ago, I read Teach Like a Pirate. And anybody who's ever read Teach Like a Pirate, you know, really just gives you permission to kind of the freedom and the permission to teach the way you feel that you should. It's kind of like it digs into your heart and you go, this is what I should be doing, right? I told Greg, I said, I want everybody on our staff to read this book. And he's like, sure, propose it in a staff meeting. And you guys can meet anytime you want. It's just kind of like whatever you want to do. And so I mentioned it to Stephanie. I'm like, I read this really great book and I think everybody should read it. And I'd really love if anybody wants to read it, maybe we can meet next month and talk about it. Nothing came of it. Nobody bought the book.
Oh, no.
And I even, like, the next month I was like, hey, anybody want to meet? And a couple of people were, nobody had read it. Later on, I think in the year, a couple of people ended up reading it by the end of the year, but there was no book club. Nothing happened with it. And so I was kind of, you know, like, downhearted, like, this sucks. I really wanted to, like, start this culture and have something to talk about with it. And so I read it, whatever, moved on with my life, did my thing. And then last year, probably about February, I read Lead Like a Pirate. And I was about halfway into it and I went, I can't read this anymore. It was so frustrating because I didn't feel as a classroom teacher that I had any way to implement the things that needed to be done. Because it's all about, you know, kind of a top-down thing where leaders kind of present things. And I went, Greg needs to read this book because I could suggest these things, but he kind of needs to get ensconced in it, right? So about, you know, April or something, I threw the book in his mailbox and I wrote, I think you'd like this. Read it. Me. I didn't write my name. I wrote me. And I kind of forgot about it. And in the summer, I was on summer vacation. We were on summer vacation and I was on vacation. Very vividly remember I was on vacation in Mexico and I turned on my phone because I had it off. I didn't want like international charges or anything.
Yeah.
And I had this text from Greg and he had just texted me. Like I'd had my phone off for a week and I turned it on. He had just texted me like 3 minutes before. And okay. So he's like, did you put this Lead Like a Pirate book in my box? And I
went, busted.
Why? Did you like it? Because I didn't want to admit. And he was like, it was amazing. It was incredible. Thank you. You like changed my life. And I went, oh yeah. Okay. So it was me. and then from that point on, I came back home and my husband's also a teacher. We travel a lot. So throughout the rest of the summer, we were in our RV and I was reading books on Kindle and texting Moffitt saying like, what are you reading now? What are you reading now? And so it turns out that he had read, at the beginning of the summer, he started off with George Kyrios's book and loved it. I think he had seen him at a conference or something. And then he read Lee Lapp. And I said, you know that these are the same books that I suggested earlier. This is coming from Dave Burgess. And he was kind of like, huh. And then he read on his own. I still didn't make the connection. He read Culturize. And so I'm like, so now you've read three of them. Do you think we should just read them all? Because I know you still haven't read Like a Pirate yet. And he was like, no, I haven't Teach Like a Pirate yet. And I was like, why not? And he goes, well, I asked one of the teachers about it. And she said it was about stealing ideas from each other, other teachers. I'm like, no, that's not what it's about. So I said, you know what would be really fun? And so at that point, I think during the summer, he'd gotten on Twitter and he started connecting with people. And we met Alicia Ray.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've interviewed Alicia Ray. You should. She's read that summer, she read all the DBC books, all the Dave Burgess consulting books. And he was like, you know what would be cool? As if we read them all too. I don't think we should read one at a time. I mean, one a day, like we should do it over the summer. We should maybe do like one a week. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And he's like, really? And I'm a doer. Like I have an idea, I do it. And he has great ideas, but he's also often afraid to do it. So that's where our partnership works out great. So we decided we're going to start with Teach Like a Pirate, read one a week until we've read them all. And just from that point on, we've been doing it all along. So we've read 19 books.
Wow.
We read the first 18 in order, one a week. And then, you know, life happens. So you'd have to check out our blog to hit the details because I'm not the principal, right? So I'm an instructional coach. My schedule is such that I leave myself time during the day to read. I give myself time to do personal and professional development because I really feel like that's part of my job and he supports that. So I was, you know, cooking along, reading all the books and all that stuff. And he kind of stalled out and he just had a lot of things going on. So you'd have to read the blog. I think it's pretty powerful. He's a great writer. And he explains what happened. But so we stopped on book 18 and life happened. And today we're going to publish book 19. And we decided at that point that we're going to actually be reading the books out of order because we were reading them in order that they were published. Partially because we're on Twitter and super active and we're seeing everybody in our PLN talking about the new books that are coming out and we're not reading them and we're kind of feeling out of the loop, right?
Yeah.
Especially when we're reading some books about Google that were published a couple of years ago and it's kind of not as current as it could be. So we're like, well, we need to read them the way we need to read them because pirates do what they need to do, right? follow their passion. So we read Passion for Kindness this week, and we're going to be by Tamara Lutter. It was amazing. And we'll be publishing our blog post today, and it'll go out on Twitter. So yes, it's a lofty goal, and we're not giving up, and we're moving forward. And I think we're going to be choosing the books that we read, but the goal is to read them all. We have joked that we're going to be reading for the rest of our life. He's publishing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed. It's like 3 a month. And we're like, there's no way we're going to keep up. But we're really enjoying it. It's really fun.
That's a very real challenge, I think. There are so many books coming out of that publishing house. And I don't even know if Dave calls it that, but they are releasing books at a frenetic pace. And, you know, speaking of Callie and Greg and their reading challenge. So if we haven't made it clear, first of all, we mentioned the blog, readlikeapirate.wordpress.com, but they actually map out, they've got a page here on the blog that I'm looking at where they map out the books that they're reading and the date, I think, at which they've been completed, right? Or you've written your blog post?
Well, yeah, that was the date that we were going to publish the blog post, and we are editing that constantly. So, you know, we're both parents, we're both educators, we're both busy. So it's like, it was a very lofty goal, and we were pushing it pretty hard. Now we're like, we're really going to try to stick to one a week, but things happen. Right.
Now, I know I don't need to tell you this, Kelly, but you know, something that I've learned from my wife this year, she is ripping through the books and she's doing it using audiobooks. And I don't know what you think about audiobooks. I mean, to me, to date, I guess I've kind of felt like, you know, I like to highlight, I like to archive my learning, and for different reasons, you know, maybe it almost feels like cheating somehow, but I have to say, I mean, she is just inhaling the books that way. And so I don't know, maybe that's an option too, to help you guys get through all of these books.
Yeah, we actually do balance it. So there are times when we are definitely, so both of us, Greg and I live out of town. He lives in Davis. I live in Woodland, which are both about 25 minutes from Winters. Like I said, Winters is an isolated little town inside our county. So we both do listen to the books, but also I do like to see them. I mean, I don't pick up the quotes that really impact me while I'm driving, right? So I have to, some of them I have copies of both the Audible and the book. And so I'll have to go back and forth and try to pull the quotes out and stuff. But, cleverly we figured out that there is a way to get it. You can have your Kindle on your phone, and then there is a way to enable, your phone. Your phone has the capacity to read what's on your phone. Would that make sense? Read the Kindle. So it's not a nice narration by the author, but it'll read it. And so we both have been doing that too, and we'll read it at like 1.5. So then it goes a little faster too.
How does that work? Like, is that through the Kindle app?
It's actually through something. Let's see, it's on your settings on your phone, and I can't think of it right now. I'm looking at my phone to see if I can figure it out, but I think it's one of the settings on your phone. I'm trying to remember how I did it, and it's under accessibility, and it has it where it says voiceover or something. So speech, I think that's how you do it. But there's a way to do it so that you can, it'll read the Kindle too, and it'll flip the pages, and it'll, so
wow.
I do okay. Know for sure.
I can't wait to try that, Callie. I'm in. that might change my podcast consumption, actually. So I'll have to think about this. But
well,
yeah,
that's the other thing. I mean, podcasts, I listen to podcasts a lot too. And I know I'm skipping ahead to the questions, but when I listen to podcasts, I tend to listen to them at like 1.5 too. And I can, as you can tell, I talk really fast, so I can digest it pretty fast too. So it yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm learning a few little tips and tricks already. So I love it.
Hacks. Yeah.
Let's talk about your role as instructional coach, Kelly, at Winters Elementary. Now, this is a position that in my own context, we've just opened up at each campus this year. So we are still figuring out how to best integrate it in the classroom. What do you see as your mission as an instructional coach, and how do you serve your staff most effectively? I mean, I'm sure you could talk for hours about that, but what are like the key services that you offer?
Well, so I'm really fortunate. Our district established this coaching position alongside of what we call the professional growth cycle. So it was something that we piloted in our school district first, and then we made it a part of our contract. Like our union even voted on it and everything. So Part of the professional growth cycle, there are four steps in the cycle. Instead of being, I don't know how most school districts are, but typically you're evaluated every other year by an administrator. We felt that that didn't support or lend itself to growth because it's an evaluation, right? So we actually made it into four steps over a four-year period. So you're only evaluated by your administrator every fourth year. My role in that is that, so they have the opportunity, it's their cycle through. The first cycle, the first year, they work with a peer. They work peer-to-peer and they plan for the lesson. They observe each other's lessons and then they reflect on the lessons together. The second year, it's with me. And again, I'm a non-evaluator, I'm not an administrator, I'm a peer, I'm a teacher. And so they do go through the cycle with me. Their second year, their third year is with an administrator. So it's the actual evaluation. So I prepare them for that basically. And then the fourth year, they're on their own doing like their own project and then they cycle back. So I have a lot of friends that are instructional coaches in my area, not in my school district. There are obviously some, there's two other instructional coaches in my school district, but we are super fortunate in Winters that people are assigned to us. We don't sit around waiting for people to come and ask for help. Like if they just have known that this is a, we've agreed upon this. So I'm working with a fourth of the staff at a time. And it's not even, we have about 40 teachers on staff and I'm working with 18 or something this year. So it's a lot, or maybe it's 13. It's a lot. So it's really fun because there's a lot of components on my job. So my main focus obviously is professional development. Like I said, I cycle through them with my plan with them. I observe them. I help them reflect, and reflecting of course is the most important component. I also have the role to attend PDs and bring back professional development to my staff. And I present about an hour and a half a week, an hour and a half a month to my staff. And then I support it around that theme with like a newsletter, and I'll do model lessons in their classroom. And I also have worked to establish culture in our schools, different things, you know, behavior culture and social emotional learning. So I have a lot of things that I can do. And luckily I have such a collaborative relationship with my administrators, because we also do have a vice principal. I have such a collaborative relationship with my administrators that I can kind of tell them what I want to do and they support me, whatever I want to do. So it's totally up to me, the things I do, but I have, you know, things I have to do and then the things that I choose to do. So I feel like I do a lot, but in a really fun and supportive way. I also feel like I'm the liaison between the administrators and the teachers and vice versa. The teachers will say things like, I really would like to see this happen, or I really feel this way. And I can go back to them and share that without saying who is saying what, and vice versa. The administrators might see like general trends in the classroom, and I can train and support the teachers to kind of work on those trends and areas of growth. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a really good experience. So
it sounds like an amazing position, and I think one that every school would be glad to have. So maybe if you are an administrator and you're working in an environment without a full-time instructional coach, take a listen to what Callie just shared and think about what that might mean for your staff to have someone who's there, as you said, not in an evaluative way, but as consistently as a mentor, as a support, as a just a sounding board. And I'm sure it adds so much to that environment. I know we're really appreciating having the same at our school. So awesome, awesome. So I love the fact that you get to go to all these Pro D events as well. That's awesome.
Yep.
Maybe, okay, sounds like a mixed bag, but...
Well, you know,
don't always want to. No,
I get to do a lot of different stuff, and it's mostly on my own accord. I asked to do different things, but you know, sometimes things are done to us as educators to come top down, but yeah.
Fair enough. So Callie, you've got your head in education theory all the time. You're doing all this reading and teaching and supporting. So what is it that really excites you about education today?
You know what? So in addition to being a teacher, of course, I'm a mom, and my two oldest are in school. My daughter's a fifth grader. My son's a second grader. And people talk about Common Core constantly. But both my kids talk about things like math in such a different way than I ever did. They're not about mastering. They do memorize and master rote facts, but they can show me so many different ways to look at a math problem, for instance. And I really appreciate that the way education is going now that we have technology compared to when we were kids, that they can, you know, if they need to look up a fact, they just Google it. So it's less about memorizing and knowing facts and more about being a problem solver. And I really, really, really value that. And my school district's doing a great job with that. And just as a parent, it's just amazing to see, like, my kids think they're really good at math because of all the ways that they can deal with it. And they're really great problem solvers. And it's just super exciting. Just a different, whole different thing. Education is so different than it used to be. And it should be.
Absolutely. So different. So Callie, how are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice this year? We just talked about your position at length. Do you have a specific professional goal or something that you're working on?
So I think the hardest thing moving into being a coach has been shifting my mindset from a teacher to a coach. So I really have to work out of the focus of telling or saying this is how it should be to more of a coach and reflective partner. And, you know, when you're teaching kids, it's easy to say this is the way you do it and this is how you do it and this is the best way. And as a coach, I really don't feel that adult learners learn that way. They need to discover on their own and reflect on their own. And so it's been interesting learning how to pose questions and that kind of thing. So it's been interesting. I love it. And it really, reading the book a week has really helped me think in different ways and stretch my mind so that, not specifically to coaching, but a lot of the authors that I'm reading have been coaches. And so they do have definitely a lot of support in that way. You know, you're reading it and you're like, I like their perspective and I adopt parts of their perspective. So it really helps.
That's cool. Now, you can't say this, Callie, but I feel like teachers are a stubborn bunch. I mean, we are, you know, we're professionals, but we have, you know, we all have a certain pride about the work that we do and we have our preferences. And so I feel, and sometimes, you know, you watch Pro D events and you watch speakers try to bring the room to order and, you know, teachers just refuse to stop talking. I mean, in some ways,
I live that. Yes.
I mean, teachers are in some ways terrible students. So it really is an interesting and I'm sure a challenging prospect at times to sort of bring teachers on board in a way that they feel like, as you say, you're not just, you know, it's not top down directive, but you're inviting them into the learning process. So.
Right. Well, you know, and when I get up in front of the staff, I am their peer and I've been working with them for several years. And so for the most part, they're super respectful, but teachers really don't like change. And I don't blame them. I mean, who does? We're really like what I'm doing is working and it's an effective thing, you know? And so I really enjoy helping them see other perspectives and giving the opportunity to try it on their own. And yeah, sometimes it's hard to quiet them down and I just chalk it up to the real excited. So I'll be like, all right, keep talking about that. We're going to break in a minute and get back to, you know, the presentation point. But I mean, before I was an instructional coach, I was a transitional kindergarten teacher. And I always saw when people were so excited, my little kids were so excited, it's because they were really interested in the topic. So I never took it personally. Like, you guys need to talk about your neighbor's dog. Keep talking about your neighbor's dog. We'll come back to this in a second. And my staff's not any different. I present something. I start talking about academic language or whatever we're talking about. They get excited. They start talking about what they want to do. I give them time to talk and plan. We get back to the focus. And I don't blame them. I understand. It's amazing. Yeah.
Callie, outside of education, what's another area of learning for you? What is it that ignites your passions and really brings you alive as a human being when you leave the school?
Well, other than being a mom, which encompasses a lot of my extra free time, my passion is around fitness and nutrition. Like I think I mentioned earlier, there was a point that I thought about becoming a personal trainer. And I find that exercise fuels me and relaxes me and energizes me. And I spend a lot of time I read a lot of DBC books, but I also read a lot of books about nutrition and fitness. So I really like to, you know, take care of myself and my family and my health. And I think that it's what keeps me going. I have a lot of natural energy. And if I don't exercise, I really lose a lot of focus. Maybe I have a little bit of ADHD. I'm not sure. But I, you know, it keeps me energized and it keeps me going. And I get a workout every morning in 5 a.m. And that's how I keep my energy so high and present for my students and my my kids and my school. So
yeah, that you mentioned 5 a.m. And that leads to my next question. Share about a personal habit or a productivity hack that contributes to your success and really helps you make it all happen on a daily basis.
Yeah, getting up at 5 a.m. So I get up at 5 a.m. I down my pre-energy workout drink, just a little natural caffeine. I start my laundry, my dishes, and then I start working out. So if I can't keep, you know, my family moving and everything flowing in my house, then everything goes everything goes downhill. Mom, I don't have clothes to wear. We don't have dishes to eat breakfast cereal, and you know. So yeah, I have. That's the thing. I get up before everybody else does, so I can have my quiet alone time. And sometimes when I'm loading the dishwasher, I'm listening to podcasts on my Bluetooth, and I just, you know, gotta keep myself going.
Yeah, absolutely, love it. Now, are you a Rachel Hollis fan or no?
She's okay. She's okay.
Yeah. All right. Just had to ask that. I hear her name all over the place these days. Kelly, it's time for your quick pick. So here we're looking for the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking. And you mentioned podcasts. We've talked about reading. So there are a lot of them. But starting at Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Well, so I met this dude in my admin credential program about 12 years ago. And I say dude, because if you've ever met Jeff Kubiak, that's how he talks, yo, in real life. So I thought it was funny that I got into it this summer. And there he was, like, super predominant and super involved. And he lives locally and teaches in the next town over. And I thought it was amazing that a guy that I knew in person is killing it on Twitter. So he's amazing. And of course, follow Greg too. Mr. Moffitt's amazing too. So, but Jeff, man, he's amazing. He's fun.
Another previous guest on podcast and a guy that I'd call an online friend. Hope to meet him in person someday. But he is shouting out, Jeff, he's got a book, I believe, coming out shortly as well. One Drop of Kindness, I think, if I have that right. So keep an eye out and definitely give Jeff Kubiak a follow. Yeah.
He's amazing. It's even funny. So Greg lives in the same town as Jeff. They're fans of each other. They didn't realize until like 2 weekends ago that their kids went to the same school.
Oh my goodness.
I know. They showed up at an auction. They're like, dude, your kid goes to the same school? Okay.
Bromance.
They're funny.
Bromance.
Yeah. There's fun times. There's some fun people out here.
So Kelly, point us to an ed tech tool, one that you enjoy using in your own practice or one that you see your teachers using. And I guess in your case, one that you're really encouraging teachers to get on.
Yeah, Flipgrid. Flipgrid is amazing. So our school-wide, district-wide academic focus right now is academic language development. So this has been an amazing tool to encourage our EL students, especially to share their ideas, because a lot of our students tend to be really shy at any age. So I've loved it. So I do teach, like I said, I teach STEAM every day or whatever, a couple days a week with my fifth graders. And just listening to them, they'll get on and be like, oh, wow. I like played with my hair a lot, or wow, it's really quiet. And it gives them an opportunity to hear themselves talk and present and give themselves time to like focus on what they want to say. And it's amazing. I love Flipgrid. They like interacting with each other too and reading, listen to each other and all that kind of stuff. Flipgrid's amazing.
Such a good tool. Recommend a book. And again, you're the queen of the books right now, but is there one that you've been reading lately or one of your all-time faves that you would recommend to our audience?
So it's hard for me to find one that I've read in the past that was amazing. And of course, I recommend all the DBC books. I've read a lot of them that I actually haven't done blog posts on. I'm a huge fan of Tara Martin, and I met her in person at Q a couple months ago. She's amazing. But besides the DBC books, I am currently reading, because our staff is really focusing on adverse childhood experiences, the Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog. And I've heard about it for a really long time, and I was really reluctant to read it because I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to be traumatized myself. And I ended up reading it, and I'm almost done with it. I started it last weekend, and it is amazing. It just gives us as educators a whole nother perspective and empathy for students, but also the author is a psychotherapist, and he offers actionable steps, things to do, things that are important that teachers can be doing in the classroom. And it's just amazing. So I totally recommend it. It's not even what you think. The way that the boy who was raised as a dog, the different stories that he tells from his experiences as a psychotherapist, it's not even the kids were in trauma, but it's more about parents just being unaware and ignorant. It's not that they were really trying to cause harm to their children. It's really super interesting book. So check it out.
That's the boy who was raised as a dog. And Callie, you mentioned podcasts while you're washing those dishes or pounding out on the treadmill or CrossFit, whatever it is that you're doing. What have you
I'm
got?
I'm a beach body girl. I do all the beach body stuff at home.
Awesome.
I actually am always listening to, I'm seeking out the authors that I'm reading for the week. So like we just finished Tamara Letter's book. I looked for her at the podcast and I just searched for her all over the podcast to find out. So I listen to everybody. I listen to a lot of educational leader podcasts. I can't even name them all. Yours, of course, being one of my favorite.
Yay.
Because I spend so much time in the car with my kids. My three kids go to school with me in winters. They're always asking for Brains On. That's the name of a kids podcast. And it's sciencey. My kids are super into science. Their dad is a science teacher, a middle school and high school science teacher. So they're always they think they're scientists, which is amazing, of course. So Brains On is something that my 3-year-old through my 11-year-old loves. So that's always a go-to when we've listened to all the episodes and we're back to mom's podcasts. So
all right. Well, that sounds a little similar to my car. So I will take a look for Brains On. I really appreciate that shout out.
Brains On. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Callie, tell us about a YouTube channel that you're getting value from and one that we should subscribe to.
Well, I love all the TED Talks. So, you know, not only are they motivational, but they're also full of lots of great information. Plain and simple, TED Talks. TEDx, yeah.
Last one, strictly non-educational, just for fun, and one that maybe tells us a little bit more about who you are as a human being. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
Oh, don't judge. Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
For all the right reasons. You know what? It's been funny because I like it for all the adult themes and all that kind of stuff and mixed steamy. But I also, watching it reminds me like, okay, education's stressful, but thank God I'm not a surgeon.
No kidding.
So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Callie, what are the best ways for the listeners to follow you and get more of your education ideas and your great DBC book reviews?
So pretty sure I'm about one of the only Callie Slessers around. My name's pretty unique. So it's KALISLUSSER. And on Twitter, that's who I am. On Facebook, that's who I am. You'll find me on Instagram. It's pretty easy to find me, I think.
Okay. And we should mention your blogs too. You've got CallieSlesser.wordpress.com and readlikeapirate.wordpress.com as well, right?
Yeah. So I do my own little bit of a blogging. Most of my time is taken up with our collaborative blog. But sometimes I have things to talk about that he's not interested in talking about. So
fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. Callie, again, thank you so much for sharing your time with the podcast today. This was a conversation I've been looking forward to for quite some time. We've had some good exchanges on Twitter and elsewhere, and honestly, what a pleasure to connect with you in person, or at least over the airwaves, and I'm so proud to be able to bring this conversation to our audience. So thanks again for doing this. Take care, and let's talk again soon.
Thank you. It was great meeting you too.
Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Teachers on Fire podcast. For show notes and links from this episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. And again, please do subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.